Today is the 14th of December 2025, and you are tuned to Amateur Radio Station ZSX SRL. Coming up next is Amateur Radio Today. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever in the world you may be listening to us. You are tuned to Amateur Radio Station ZSX SRL with the weekly program Amateur Radio Today. Amateur Radio Today is produced and presented by the South African Radio League, the national body for amateur radio in South Africa, and can first be heard on a Sunday morning at 10 hours local time, 8 hours UTC, on 7115 kHz in the 40-meter band, and many repeater frequencies throughout South Africa. The program is also available on www.mzsa.org.za. I'm your host, Hans van der Groenel, ZS6 Alpha Kilo Victor, and I invite you to sit back and enjoy the next hour or so with me as we talk about amateur radio and technology. We start our program today with the South African Radio League a news bulletin, and for that we cross to Cape Town. On the microphone will be ZS1DFR. First, the headlines.
In the news today, the SARL Happy Holidays Hunt starts early on Monday. The SARL submits comments on the second draft national radio frequency plan, and Pico Balloon News. Stay tuned for more information on these and other interesting news items. The SARL Happy Holidays Hunt starts early on Monday. Now, the SARL Happy Holidays Hunt aims to promote activity on air over the year-end holidays. Whether you're lucky enough to go on vacation or must bargain on a staycation with some extra time on hand, this is the perfect opportunity to enjoy the hunt for those worked all ZS or worked all ZS grid squares and the QSOs attached. The holidays hunt will run from midnight on Sunday, the 14th of December, to midnight on Thursday, the 15th of January, 2026. You can make phone, CW, FT8, FT4, VARA AC QSOs on all the HF bands, as well as 2 meters and 70 centimeter simplex. But no repeater QSOs, please. Only QSOs with SADC countries will count towards points, namely Angola, Delta 2, Botswana, Alpha 2, Comoros, Delta 6, Democratic Republic of Congo, 9 Quebec, Eswatini, 3 Delta Alpha, Lesotho, 7 Papa, Madagascar, 5 Romeo or 6 X-ray, Malawi, 7 Quebec, Mauritius, 3 Bravo 8 and 3 Bravo 9, Mozambique, C8 and C9, or Charlie 8 and Charlie 9, Namibia, Victor 5, Seychelles, Sierra 7, Tanzania, 5 Hotel, Zambia, 9 Juliet, Zimbabwe, Zulu 2, and South Africa, Zulu Uniform, Zulu Romeo, Zulu Sierra, and Zulu Tango. The exchange is your name, call sign, the 4-character grid square you're operating from, a realistic RS, RST, or RSQ report, and a holiday greeting. Each QSO claimed for competition credit must be made by a living person. You can participate as a stayer, that's a station operating from your QTH at home, an awayer, which is a portable or field station operated from a grid square outside of your QTH grid square, or a mixer, a combination of the above. You score 1 point for every QSO with ZS or SADC countries, and DX QSOs do not score points. You do score 2 points for every QSO on the 30-meter and the 60-meter bands. Submit your log sheet in MS Excel, in Cabrillo, or ADIF format by 21 hours 59 UTC on Friday the 30th of January by email to contest at sarl.org.za. The Excel log sheet is available on the contest resource page on the My SARL website. Get all the information on page 35 of the December 2025 Radio ZS or from the contest resources webpage. Now the NARC closure. The National Amateur Radio Centre will close on Friday afternoon, the 19th of December, for the Christmas holidays. The office will reopen again on Monday, the 12th of January. The SARL submits comments on the second draft National Radio Frequency Plan, the NRFP 2025. At the beginning of November, ICASA published the second draft National Radio Frequency Plan 2025 for public comment. This followed the first round of consultations that took place on 4th of April 2025, attended by Brian Jacobs, ZS6 Yankee Zulu, and Hans van der Groenendaal, ZS6 Alpha Kilo Victor. Several SARL proposals are included in the second draft. The NRFP outlines how radio frequencies will be managed and allocated in South Africa to support communication services such as broadcasting, mobile networks, and satellite systems. The SARL will participate in the public hearing on the 15th and the 16th of January 2026. The SARL submission highlights that as technology has developed, so has the amateur service, with the current greater emphasis on technical investigations as set out in Rule 1.56 of the ITU definition of the amateur service. This requires a fresh look at some of the power limits in the radio frequency plan. In terms of Rule 25.7 of the ITU regulations, the SARL submission makes recommendations for consideration by ICASA before the final plan is gazetted. The SARL's submission was developed by the SARL Science and Technology Workshop, who worked through the 300-page draft document. SARL members who would like to join that work group and share their expertise are invited to send their details to STWG, that's Sierra Tango Whiskey Golf, at amateurradio.org.za. Now, the AMSAT SA Dual Band Yagi is very well received in the USA, with the ARRL this week requesting a quotation for another 250 antennas. South African radio amateurs should not miss out on the Christmas and New Year special. The AMSAT SA Dual Band 70cm / 2m handheld Yagi is, for a limited period, available at a reduced price. For details, download the order form from www.amsatsa.org.za. The Christmas special expires on the 5th of January 2026. The antenna has a 50-ohm designed driver. The Yagi has a unique element called an open sleeve, which is a director very close to the driven element. The driven element is sized for 2 meters, but when operating in 70 centimeters, the open sleeve acts as part of the driven element on 70 centimeters, being the third harmonic, of course, of 2 meters. The original concept was developed in 1946 by Dr. J.T. Baldjian of the Stanford Research Institute, but was not introduced into amateur radio until the 1950s. The AMSAT SA version is based on a design by Delta Kilo 7 Zulu Bravo, with a modification by Whiskey Bravo 6 Charlie X-Ray Charlie. The first South African version was a collaboration between Guy Eels, ZS6 Golf Uniform Yankee, and Gary Immelman, ZS6 Yankee India. It was developed for YOTA 2018, where young people successfully used the antenna for satellite operation using handheld transceivers. The antenna has two elements on 145 MHz and three elements on 435 MHz, and for its size, it has excellent gain. On 145 MHz, 4.12 dBd or 6.3 dBi, and on 435 MHz, 6.23 dBd or 8.4 dBi. It is supplied with a short length of coax, but without a connector. Now, amateur radio books. The Black Friday special on amateur radio books continues until the 15th of December. Details and an order form are available on www.amateurradio.org.za. You are listening to a very long news bulletin of the South African Radio League. Now, new privileges for US amateurs on 60 metres. On the 9th of December, the Federal Communications Commission, that's the FCC, released Report and Order 25-60, which amends Part 2 and 97 to implement acts of the World Radio Communication Conference held in Geneva in 2015. That was called WRC 15. The report and order addresses the amateur radio service in the 5351.5 and 5366.5 kHz, which is the 60 meter band, and also in the 420 to 450 MHz, which is the 70 centimeter band. In the 60 meter band, the report and order states, allocate the 5351.5 to 5366.5 kilohertz or 60 meter band to the amateur service on a secondary basis. Continue to make available on a secondary basis the four existing channels outside of the 5351.5 to 5366.5 kilohertz band, and establish other operating guidelines for amateur use of the band. Close quote. The existing 60 meter channels and their power limit of 100 watts ERP remain. In the new 5351.5 to 5366.5 kHz segment, power will be limited to 9.15 watts effective radiated power. In the 70 centimeter band, the report and order states, update the coordination and contact information in US270 for amateur stations operating in previously defined areas of the 420 to 450 megahertz or 70 centimeter band. Close quote. This refers to parts of the country where amateur radio operations on the 70 centimeter band are restricted due to adjacent military operations. And these changes will go into effect 30 days after publication in the Federal Register. Now, some Pico Balloon news. Pico Balloon updates. Well, ZS1 Echo Romeo Zulu-12 and ZS1 Echo Romeo Zulu-13 are in the news. The high-altitude Pico Balloon ZS1 Echo Romeo Zulu-12 was on the verge of completing its ninth circumnavigation of the planet when it fell silent on the 28th of November, with its last transmission logged at 13 hours 22. But in the past, it has occasionally gone unreported for a day or two, likely due to propagation conditions or because it drifted close to Antarctica, where limited sunlight may have prevented it from generating sufficient power. Meanwhile, another Pico balloon, ZS1 Echo Romeo Zulu-13, had been under preparation and was successfully launched on Sunday, the 7th of December, at 7 hours 20. Now, its payload is more advanced and transmits three messages in each 10-minute cycle on the 10-meter band, a standard whisper message followed by two telemetry frames. The second telemetry frame includes ambient temperature, humidity, air pressure, and an altitude value derived from that pressure. This allows a direct comparison between pressure-derived altitude and GPS altitude. But unexpectedly, ZS1 Echo Romeo Zulu-12 was heard again. Victor 51 Romeo Sierra received a transmission whose whisper grid placed it deep in Antarctica at latitude minus 85.5 degrees after nearly 10 days of silence. And 3 hours later, another transmission appeared, and the balloon continued transmitting throughout the day with many stations spotting it. And at present, ZS1 Echo Romeo Zulu-12 is heading back past South Africa to complete its ninth lap, while ZS1 Echo Romeo Zulu-13 on its maiden voyage is already well on its way towards Australia. Great news. Now, some club news. The Pretoria Amateur Radio Club held its 95th annual general meeting on the 6th of December 2025 at the Pretoria Old Motor Club. During that meeting, committee members for 2026 were elected as follows. Graham Reed, ZS6 Golf Juliet Romeo, is chairman, treasurer, and in charge of rallies. Irene Myberg, ZS6 India Echo Alpha, as vice chair lady, secretary, and social affairs. Henry Ehlers, ZS6 Hotel Fox Echo, in charge of website, ICASA liaison, social media, and repeaters. Marty Fenter, ZS6 Mike Victor, in charge of the Watts newsletter and membership. Louis DeVette, ZS6 Sierra Kilo, is the club historian, the awards and SARL liaison officer. The following persons were co-opted: Almiro de Pisani, ZS6 Lima Delta Papa for flea markets and swap shop. Pierre Holzhausen, ZS6 Papa Juliet Hotel for contests. Peter Mayberg, ZS6 Papa Alpha Mike for repeaters. And the RAE training portfolio is still empty and needs to be filled. Park hereby sincerely congratulates the elected committee members and wishes them all the best for the new year. Now, a propagation report. Hannes Kutsi, ZS6 Bravo Zulu Papa, reports that solar activity is expected to be at moderate levels. There are currently 6 sunspot regions with simple to complex magnetic configurations visible. There is a high probability of C and M class solar flares. If you want to do your own frequency predictions, the expected effective sunspot number for the week will be around 75. The 15 meter to 30 meter bands may provide some good DX fun, especially in the late afternoons. And please visit the website spaceweather.sansa.org.za for further information. And finally, a diary of some upcoming events. Today, the 14th, the Geminids meteor shower and the ARRL 10 meter contest. The 14th to the 22nd of December is Chanukah. The 16th of December, the Day of Reconciliation. The 21st of December, the summer solstice at 15 hours and 2 minutes UTC. Oh dear. The 21st and the 22nd of December, the Ursids meteor shower. The 25th of December, Christmas Day, of course. The 26th of December, Day of Goodwill. The 31st of December, Old Year's Eve. The end of the Yota month, the SARL Centenary Marathon QSO Party, and the DX Marathon. The 1st of January is New Year's Day and the start of the 2026 DX Marathon, and the 3rd of January, the ARRL Kids Day. They seem to have left out the birthday of ZS1 DFR somewhere in that mix. Now, to conclude our bulletin, a recap of our main news story. The SARL Happy Holidays Hunt aims to promote activity on air over the year-end holidays. Whether you are lucky enough to go on vacation or must bargain on a staycation with some extra time on hand, this is the perfect opportunity to enjoy the hunt for all those worked all ZS and worked all ZS grid squares and the QSOs associated. Get all the information on page 35 of the December 2025 Radio ZS or from the Contest Resources webpage. And this concludes our long bulletin for this morning. We invite clubs and individuals to submit news items of interest to radio amateurs and shortwave listeners in both English and Afrikaans, if possible, by uploading the news item at https://mysarl.org.za/news-inbox/. Or by sending the items to news@sarl.org.za, but no later than the Friday morning preceding the bulletin date, please. You are welcome to join us every Sunday morning for the weekly radio program, Amateur Radio Today, at 10 hours Central African time. The program can be heard on VHF and UHF repeaters countrywide and relayed on 7115 kHz lower sideband by Louis ZR4 Delta Juliet Lima. In Cape Town, you can listen at 10 hours 30 Central African time on the 145.700 MHz repeater without an Echolink relay this week due to a computer glitch, and that relay done by me, ZS1 DFR. A rebroadcast by Andy, ZS6 Alpha Delta Yankee, can be heard on Monday evenings at 19 hours 30 Central African time on 3620 kHz. We welcome your signal reports, comments, and suggestions. Please send these by email to artoday@sarl.org.za. You've just listened to a news bulletin written by Kevin Berger, ZR2 Bravo Kilo, proofread by Herman Erasmus, ZS6 Charlie Tango Alpha, and read by Dave Reese, ZS1 Delta Fox Romeo. From the news team, best wishes for the week ahead.
Tune to amateur radio station ZS6 SRL with the program Amateur Radio Today. We'll return to Cape Town a little later for the Hemnet report, but first we go to the United States, where Newsline is standing by with international news.
And now reporting from Valparaiso, Indiana, here's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
In our top story this week, the Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service, or RACES, program has ended in Vermont. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, has the details.
Vermont state officials have ended the RACES program, calling the action taken on November 1st, quote, a move towards streamlining and modernizing our communication systems and volunteer programs to improve coordination and efficiency, end quote. Vermont RACES volunteers learned of the decision in a letter to them from Brett LaRose of the state's Emergency Management Office. HAMs were instead encouraged to join the state's Medical Reserve Corps program, which is part of the Vermont Department of Health. A number of medical reserve units across the U.S. have a communications component that engages HAMs in passing emergency radio traffic on behalf of hospitals and other healthcare institutions. In a letter shared on Facebook by the Green Mountain Wireless Society and other Vermont HAM clubs, LaRose wrote that the decision does not reflect on the quality of volunteers, but was a move towards greater efficiency. He added, quote, your contributions to our state have been invaluable, end quote. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
HAMs in the U.S. are getting expanded, non-channelized use of parts of the 60-meter band under a recent decision by the Federal Communications Commission. The new access applies to general and extra-class license holders who, until now, were granted the use on a secondary basis of four discrete channels, 5332, 5348, 5373, and 5405 kilohertz. In a decision released on December 9th, the FCC reaffirmed the continued amateur use of these existing four channels at 100 watts of power, saying there has been no interference issues with federal operations. The FCC said that in line with the international WRC 15 allocation, contiguous use between 5351.5 and 5366.5 kHz with a limited emission bandwidth of 2.8 kHz and a power of no more than 15 watts EIRP is being granted. There's a new club station and a new call sign on the air in Jordan. Jeremy Booth, G4NJH, tells us about it.
The Royal Jordanian Radio Amateur Society has established a new club station with the call sign JY6SC, one of the many stations to be established at schools, universities, and within Jordan's armed forces to promote amateur radio. It recently received permission to set up the station from the Jordanian Special Communications Commission, the governmental agency that oversees the nation's communications network. The Royal Jordanian Radio Amateur Society was created in 1971 by the celebrated radio amateur King Hussein, JY1. The amateur radio group enjoys the involvement of the royal family, including Prince Hussein, JY2A, who, in 2018, supported the Society's launch of the nation's first amateur satellite. A student-built CubeSat bears the call sign JY1SAT in memory of King Hussein, who became a silent key in 1999. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Yeah, it's almost winter here in the Northern Hemisphere, but the application period has already opened for the America's Youth on the Air Summer Camp to be held next June. This next session of camp has an extra special theme, and Cell MB KB3TZD is here to tell us about it.
The application period has begun for young amateurs living in North Central or South America who want to attend Youth on the Air Summer Camp next June. To be eligible, hams must be between the ages of 15 and 25 and have a current amateur radio license. The camp will be held in Huntsville, Alabama, with a focus on STEM activities that relate to space travel and space exploration. Here on Earth, the camp will take place from the 14th through the 19th of June. For details or to find an online application, visit youthontheair.org. That's youthontheair, all one word, .org. This is Sel Emby, KB3TZD.
History has marked the Battle of the Bulge as the turning point in World War II. Amateur radio is marking it, too, as a special event noting its 81st anniversary this year. Jeremy Boot, G4, NJH, has those details.
The Battle of the Bulge was Adolf Hitler's final major offensive on the Western Front. His attempt to repel the Allies from German-held territory did not succeed. On the 22nd of December 1944, the Germans delivered an ultimatum to surrender to the Allies in Bastogne in Belgium, and the single word response from US General Anthony McAuliffe became one for the history books. His reply was, "Nuts." That word forms the suffix of the special event station call sign being used by members of the Brussels Radio Club BXE. Station OR81 Nuts will be on the air from the Bastogne barracks using CW and SSB on the HF bands until the 31st of December. For details, visit the station's QRZ.com page. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
The founder of QSL.net and QTH.net websites, a ham well known for his technical expertise, has become a silent key. We hear more about him from Travis Lisk, N3ILS.
When Alan Waller, K3TKJ, created the QSL.net and QTH.net websites in 1996, he succeeded in expanding the universe of online information for his fellow amateurs. Al, who got his license in 1962, made a name for himself over the years as a top contester, as someone well-versed in technical matters, and as a big fan of DXing on 6 meters. Diagnosed with non-Hodgkin lymphoma, he became a silent key on the 30th of November. In 2002, Al's contributions to amateur radio earned him the Dayton Hamvention Technical Excellence Award. In 2008, he retired from running his two websites, entrusting them to Scott KA9FOX, so the resources could remain available. A statement on the QSL.net homepage recalled his lifetime of work, adding that, quote, "Al's pioneering spirit and technical achievements will be fondly remembered by friends and colleagues alike," end quote. Al was 80. This is Travis Lisk, N3ILS.
Mobile phone companies in the UK wishing to provide direct-to-device services from satellites are being told to request a license change from Ofcom. The regulator has approved a rollout of satellites for delivery of phone calls, texts, and internet in areas of the UK lacking mobile coverage. This shift brings the UK in line with a number of other countries, including the US, where direct-to-device service was also approved by the Federal Communications Commission. In the UK, the earliest adopters are the mobile network operator O2, working with Starlink, and Vodafone, working with AST. Smartphone users themselves will not be required to apply for a license. The World Heritage Grimeton radio station in Sweden is no stranger to celebrations. Certainly not this year, as it marks its 100th year as a treasured communicator. Before its Jubilee year activities conclude on the 31st of December, the radio station will once again engage in one of its most popular traditions, the Christmas Eve message, a long-wave transmission in CW. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, tells us more.
100 Christmas Eves will have come and gone when the call sign SAQ transmits the Christmas Eve message from the Grimeton radio station in Sweden on the morning of December 24. The operator will again be using the much-loved transmitter, which utilizes an alternating current generator developed by the pioneering Swedish engineer Ernst Alexandersson. The Christmas Eve morning transmission will be sent on 17.2 kilohertz, about half an hour after the transmitter has been started up. It is a festive occasion on the radio station site itself, but for those who can't be there personally, the message can be heard on the air, of course, and seen on the YouTube channel of the Alexander SAQ Grimmerton Friendship Association. It's a Christmas gift to the world, as the association notes on its channel, pointing out that this is the, and I quote, only remaining electromechanical radio transmitter, end quote. Indeed, its continued operation is a holiday gift worth celebrating. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Listening to Amateur Radio today on ZSX SRL. We now return to Cape Town for the weekly Hamnet Report. Here is Dave Rees, ZS1 DFR.
In continuing news from Indonesia, GDAX says that the death toll from severe flooding in Indonesia, particularly in northern Sumatra, has been increasing since 17th of November. As of the 10th of December, the National Disaster Management Authority reported 977 fatalities, with Aceh, North Sumatra and West Sumatra being the most affected provinces. There are also 260 missing individuals and 5,037 injured people reported. Additionally, approximately 159,000 homes and 3,296 public facilities have been damaged. So that disaster is not over yet. Al Jazeera says that more than 2 million people, that's nearly 10% of the population of Sri Lanka, have been affected by last week's climate crisis-spurred floods and landslides triggered by Cyclone Ditwa, the worst on this island this century. The government has confirmed 639 deaths, 464 from the lush tea-growing central region, while 209 people remain unaccounted for. The number of people in state-run refugee camps has dropped to 100,000 from a peak of 225,000 as floodwaters receded across the island by last Sunday, the DMC said. More than 75,000 homes were damaged, including close to 5,000 that were completely destroyed, it added. The National Sea Rescue Institute here says that it joined the Western Cape Disaster Management Centre and key emergency stakeholders at the official launch of the 2025-26 Summer Season Readiness Initiative, a province-wide commitment to ensure coordinated rapid emergency response during the busiest and highest risk season. The annual readiness initiative brings together provincial and municipal disaster managers, emergency services, and non-profit response organizations in the Western Cape to prepare for heightened risks associated with increased recreational water use, fire danger, extreme weather, and growing demands on first responders. At the event, the NSRI formally acknowledged the Western Cape Government and WCDMC for their long-standing support, including a new grant of 408,000 rand awarded for swift water rescue training in the 2025-26 season. Strong disaster preparedness is built on strong partnerships, said Dirk Kutsier, NSRI Business Development Manager. This investment is about readiness, not reaction, and directly improves our ability to respond swiftly and safely during flood and storm events. The specialized training, supported by the grant, will equip NSRI's volunteer crews with advanced skills for operating in fast-moving, high-risk environments such as rivers, canals, and flooded urban areas. As the summer season intensifies, the NSRI urges all beachgoers, inland water users, and tourists to remain vigilant, to check weather forecasts, respect signage and tide warnings, and familiarize themselves with local emergency numbers. Brian Jacobs, ZS6 Yankee Zulu, has issued a report of the earthquake response exercise held in the Eastern Cape in the first week of December. He notes that its purpose was to test search and rescue operations, interagency coordination, communication and command systems, emergency medical response, evacuation and logistics, humanitarian coordination, and post-disaster recovery planning. United Nations and international teams were present at a workshop session on the Monday before a tropical storm made landfall near Port Elizabeth, followed shortly thereafter by a magnitude 6.9 earthquake just offshore in this imaginary scenario. A variety of protocols were then followed, including a classification of the event as a national disaster, with attendant interagency coordination, communication and command systems, emergency medical responses, evacuation and logistics, humanitarian coordination, and post-disaster recovery planning. On the Tuesday, national search and rescue teams were deployed, helping to manage arriving international search and rescue teams at the airport. Team Urban Search and Rescue SA01 established a base of operations, a BOO, and a USAR coordination cell, a UCC, from where the team was managed and assigned tasks, such as a high-level reconnaissance of the sector assigned to them. The local emergency management authority, the LEMA, also arranged that Hamnet Eastern Cape, under the leadership of Andrew Gray, ZS2 Golf, and assisted by Odette, ZS2 Oscar Delta India, which had also been activated, made contact with the UCC and established amateur radio communications as a backup, should there be communications failure with the various parts of the province that were affected by the disaster. The Hamnet Eastern Cape team members also volunteered to assist with other tasks within the UCC. On Wednesday, disgruntled local citizens arrived demanding immediate assistance, which crisis was professionally handled by the liaison officer in charge of the UCC. Further stressful scenarios played out during the day and were handled by the UCC team and Metro Police and SAPS. By Thursday, the exercise was winding down, and the South Africans then managed the departure of the international teams back to the airport again. This was the first exercise of this magnitude that has involved so many role players, and it was an overall success, with everyone learning a lot from the fellow participants, as there was always time to explain a process where required. It was also a first for Hamnet, and while there were only a few Hamnet members involved, there is a lot of knowledge that needs to be passed on in the next year, so that more of our members can be ready to assist when they call to duty, and can work seamlessly with other organisations doing what we do best, providing emergency communications when other channels fail. And thank you, Brian, for the report. Here's a problem I hadn't bargained for when I was musing about relocating to Mars, as soon as the SkyTrain starts operating, of course. Writing in skyatnightmagazine.com, Ian Todd says that clocks on Mars tick faster than on Earth by nearly half a millisecond a day, according to new calculations, and the implications for future missions to the Red Planet could be significant. Neil Ashby and Bajunath Patla at the US National Institute of Standards and Technology calculated that a clock on Mars ticks 477 microseconds faster per day than one on Earth. Now that rate can also shift by 226 microseconds a day depending on Mars' distance from the Sun. The effect comes from general relativity. Weaker gravity and orbital motion alter space-time, changing how time flows. Surface gravity on Mars is just 38% that of Earth, meaning a second on the Red Planet is slightly shorter than for us on our planet. Why does it matter? Well, if you're trying to communicate with a rover using radio waves travelling at the speed of light, microseconds do count. Even the 56 microsecond delay in radio communications between Earth and the Moon means lunar targets could be missed by the length of about 184 football fields. And Mars is much farther away. Luckily, we already correct for similar effects in GPS satellites whose clocks run faster than those on Earth. Otherwise, your phone's GPS could be misaligned by miles after only a few hours. But it gets a lot more complicated when you're scaling that solution to deal with interplanetary distances for worlds with different gravities that are moving closer and further from the Sun's gravitational influence. Now, this, of course, means that I will get older more quickly if I live on Mars. Sounds like a very bad idea to me. I'd better cancel that SkyTrain reservation post-haste. This is Dave Rees, ZS1 Delta Fox Romeo, reporting for Hamnet in South Africa.
Thank you, Brian. Well, Brian, to stop having that problem, just don't have any more birthdays. You're listening to Amateur Radio today on ZSX SRL. We now go to Durban for the weekly MSAT-SA satellite report. Here is Dave Long.
KSLV-2 mission deploys 13 satellites, including new amateur radio payloads. South Korea recorded another significant achievement in its growing domestic space program with the successful nighttime launch of the Korea Space Launch Vehicle 2, KSLV-2, also known as NURI, from the Narrow Space Center in Gwangju, South Korea. Liftoff occurred at 16:13 UTC on 26th of November 2025 after a brief delay caused by an abnormal pressure sensor signal in the rocket's umbilical system. After the anomaly was resolved, NURI ascended smoothly and became South Korea's first orbital launch conducted during nighttime operations. The vehicle performed nominally throughout ascent, completing stage separations on schedule and surpassing the 500-kilometer mark roughly 7 minutes after liftoff. Orbit insertion occurred approximately 12 minutes into flight, followed 1 minute later by the deployment of the CAS-500-3, which was a 500-kilogram scientific satellite designed for highly light-sensitive Earth observation missions. Korea Aerospace Administration, CASA, officials confirmed multiple ground station contacts with CAS-500-3 during its first day on orbit, including passes over King Seong Station in Antarctica. Following the primary payload, NURI deployed 12 CubeSats, 9 of which operate in the amateur UHF bands. Of these, 3 satellites were fully IARU coordinated. The twin Snuglet 3 CubeSats, HANA 436.460 MHz and Jury 436.788 MHz, developed by the Seoul National University, each carry a 9600 BPS GMSK AX25 digipeater, UHF beacons, and on S-band image payload at 2405 MHz. These spacecraft support amateur radio during GPS-RO technology demonstrations and formation flying experiments. The third coordinated payload, Spiron 436.650 MHz/2425.1 MHz from Seong University, combines an environmental mission to detect marine plastic with GMSK beacon and an S-band transponder intended for amateur radio experimentation. 6 additional CubeSats on the mission also used amateur band downlinks, but were not coordinated through the IARU. These include JAK-003, JAK-004, both being on 436.300 MHz, BEE-1000 on 436.500 MHz, Passato-1, 437.125 MHz, and K-Hero, 437.165 MHz. The INHA ROSAT is on 437.665 MHz. While uncoordinated, they remain of interest to amateur radio satellite observers, particularly during early beacon activity and commissioning efforts as teams work to establish first contact. This launch also reflects South Korea's broadest strategy of strengthening its commercial aerospace ecosystem. For the first time, primary launch operation responsibility was handled by Hanwha Aerospace, marking a transition towards greater private sector involvement in national space access. Despite a 2.5-year gap since the previous NURI flight, Hanwha and its partners maintained launch readiness and executed the mission successfully, an encouraging sign for Korea's long-term space industry development. ISS deployment added 5 new education-focused amateur radio missions. 7 satellites were deployed from the International Space Station on December 2, 2025, with release times spanning 0810 UTC to 0950 UTC in 3 launches using the Voyager Space NanoRacks CubeSat deployment. 5 of the deployed spacecraft, SilverSat, RockSat, ContentSat, CubeSat, EagleSat 2 and Forus Perimeneo, operate on amateur radio frequencies and represent a broad collection of university student-led and educational missions. SatNOG stations, scheduled for more than 700 observations during the first 24 hours as the satellites drifted away from the ISS to their initial orbits, requiring careful Doppler evaluation and coordinated tracking during the early identification phase. Now to some passes for today, Sunday the 14th of December and all times in Central African time. The International Space Station, 1723 to 1733, ESO 50 or Saudi Sat 1C, 1509 to 1521, and Chapisa Sat 1425 to 1437. This is ZS5FR for AMSAT SA.
Thank you, Dave. Dave's report will be available on the AMSAT SA website at www.amsatsa.org.za. On that website, you will also find Amateur Radio Today, as well as the SRL English and Afrikaans news bulletins. You're listening to Amateur Radio Today on ZSX SRL. We back here in Pretoria, and Brian Jacobs is back from the earthquake exercise. Here he is with his focus on VHF and above.
There are now three Pico balloons in the air. ZS1ERZ12 operating on channel 24, transmitting a 10 meter whisper beacon, and was launched on the 16th of August 2025. This balloon was presumed lost, as I reported last week. However, it was spotted again on Sunday 7 December, deep down in the Antarctic, at around minus 85 degrees south, and has steadily been moving north again, and was last heard on 11 December, approximately halfway between South Africa and the Antarctic. It has not been heard again, but we are hoping that it will complete its ninth circumnavigation any day now. ZS1ERZ13 on channel 43, and also transmitting a 10-meter whisper beacon, was launched on 7 December 2025 and was last heard on 13th of December 2025 over Western Australia and about to enter South Australia. The Mauritian radio amateur balloon ZS6SRC-81, which was launched on the 20th of November 2025 and is transmitting a 20-meter whisper beacon, is now finally following the path of all the other balloons and was last heard on the 12th of December over Queensland, Australia. The second Mauritian radio amateur balloon, ZS6SRC-82, carrying a 15-meter whisper beacon, was launched on the 10th of December, but has not been heard again. The Mauritian radio amateurs are now hastily preparing another balloon. The Geminid meteor shower is peaking this weekend, but there is a broad bank of clouds over the northeast of the country, so the chances of viewing the meteor shower is slim for everyone in the northeast. However, there may be a possibility to see it in other parts of the country. Hopefully the cloudy weather does not interfere with the meteor scatter pings or any possible contacts that could be made. Best time being in the early hours of this morning, and we hope to report next week whether any contacts could be made. The world of digital communications is fascinating and somewhat complex, especially for the older amateur radio operators. About a month ago, I gave a presentation to one of the local clubs about HamNet, and I mentioned that being digitally proficient is a must-have skill for HamNet operators going forward, as SSB is way less effective and inefficient at transferring messages than digital modes. One comment I received was that some of the digital modes are too complicated for the older hams. I do not disagree with that statement, as I also sometimes struggle to wrap my head around the new digital modes that are out there. Most of us have mastered FT8, except those who still profess that FT8 is not amateur radio. The sad news is that it is only going to get more complicated and complex in the future, because technology is moving ahead at a rapid pace, and there is a lot of experimentation happening in amateur radio, and it is all related to modern digital modes, both on HF, VHF and UHF. The other good thing is that there is a lot of development being done that is open source, enabling more of our younger amateurs to participate in the development of the modes. The other challenge is that hardware is nowadays mostly designed around surface mount components that we older amateurs with failing eyesight find hard to work with. There are, however, still projects that can be built with us in mind, like the Open TNC project by David Platt, Alpha Echo 6 Echo Oscar, at gitlab.com/David Platt, and Platt is Papa Lima Alpha Tango Tango, /OpenTNC. One of the features of this project is that no surface mount soldering equipment is required. Everything is through-hole and can be hand-soldered. A number of us older amateurs still remember the days of the bulletin boards and packet radio. Surprise, surprise, packet radio is not dead and forgotten. There is another interesting project called TPRFN, or the Packet Radio Forwarding Network, and the mission is to provide valuable digital communications without the need for the internet. This is a specialized network that connects existing VHF-UHF packet radio systems and standalone nodes using high-frequency HF bands and modern digital modes, like VARA HF, prioritizing near-vertical incident skywave or inverse links for reliable RF-only communications without relying on internet connections. Take a look at www.tango-papa-romeo-foxtrot-november.net. This is Plan B when the internet fails. Talking about Plan B, while participating in the ERE in the Eastern Cape, I used the opportunity to talk to some really senior fellows in the UN humanitarian space, and I told them that I was a radio amateur and what my role is within our South African USAR team to provide backup communications. Their first comment was that the internet works well and that they have satellite communications that they can use. I then asked them what was their plan B should the internet not exist and access to satellites were restricted. I then told them that that is exactly why it is important to make use of radio amateurs who have the ability to get a message through without using any commercial infrastructure. So even if the command and control systems relied on the internet, we could get the message from the field to the closest place where there was internet connectivity, and the message could then be entered into the command and control systems. After some careful thought, they agreed that it is very important to have a plan B. Well, that is all for this week. How about telling us about that exciting long-distance contact that you have made on the VHF and above bands? Or about that project that you are working on in the VHF and above bands? Send me a consolidated report of your activity or project with any additional photos, audio or video clips to bjacobza@gmail.com. Remember, by sharing your activities with us at VHF News allows us to tell the rest of the amateur community about your achievements, and the more we promote the activity on the VHF and above bands, the better chance we have of encouraging more amateurs to explore the world above 30 MHz.
And that was Brian Jacobs. Thanks, Brian. You're listening to Amateur Radio Today on ZSX-SRL. Yeah, you need a plan B. And I must apologize for last Sunday if you were a listener on 145725 in the Pretoria area. Well, there was no signal. Well, there was a signal, but it went all into a dummy load. So plan B would have been, of course, to listen on 145750, because there's also a transmission. And it's always available on the website www.mzsa.org.za. But on the other hand, if you transmit, like I did, I should have checked the output of the repeater and not just listen if the signal was okay on the input. Ugh, one learns by your mistakes. You're listening to Amateur Radio Today on ZSX-SRL. We're going to the last session in our program, and that is the HF report. Here is Dennis Green, somewhere fishing on the coast.
Good morning here from the beautiful Eastern Cape with this week's edition of HF Update. And we're firstly going to South Sudan. Daya, Yankee India 1 Delta Zulu will return to Juba, South Sudan on 15 December. His contract with UNWFP runs till 30 March 2026 with a possible 11-month extension, pending approval. Due to frequent travel and a rotating work schedule that includes leave every 6 weeks, he is active on the amateur bands as a Zulu 81 Delta in his limited spare time, typically during the weekends. He operates SSB and digital modes, mainly on 40 to 6 meters. QSL is via Oscar Mike 3 Juliet Whiskey, Club Log, Logbook at World, or EQSL. Then to Morocco, members of the Association Royal, the Radio Amateurs de Morocco, will be active as Charlie November 3-5 Charlie Alpha November during the 35th edition of the Africa Cup of Nations, the biennial international competition for African soccer teams. Morocco will host the tournament from 21 December to 18 January 2026. QSL is direct, and have a look at qrz.com for all the information. Then to Mozambique. The original plan was for the Charlie 8 Kilo DX expedition to Mozambique, organized by the Czech DX group, to take place in January-February 2025. However, it was postponed for the first time to January and February 2026 due to safety concerns. Now, due to overlapping work and personal schedules within the team, it has been rescheduled again, this time to September-October 2026. This adjustment allows the full intended team lineup to participate and help secure safe, well-coordinated logistics and the best possible on-the-air performance, they say. Further information is expected in due course. Then to Bangladesh. The de-expedition to Kutubdia Island, scheduled for 21 to 27 December, has been postponed to a later date in 2026. This decision was made after careful consideration of several factors, including logistical and operational challenges in the region, as well as concerns about adequate resource availability. The new activation dates will be announced once all necessary arrangements and resources have been confirmed. The Lakshadweep Islands. Alpha Uniform 7 Romeo is here as the call sign for the multinational team of the 10 to 22 January expedition to Agati Island, Asia's 0114 IOTA. The plans are to operate CW, SSB and digital modes on 166 meters with four stations, while the fifth station will be dedicated to the Quebec Oscar 100 satellite. QSL is via Mike 0 Oscar Extra Octus OQRS. Donations to help offset the significant cost are still greatly accepted. And for more information, pay a visit to www.victoruniform2romeosierra.com/victoruniform7romeo. Then to Russia. Special call signs Romeo 2026 Alpha, Charlie, Lima, November, November Yankee, Sierra, X-Ray, Uniform Echo 26 Hotel November Yankee and Uniform Echo 26 November Yankee will be active from 29 December to 11 January for the annual Russian New Year Radio Marathon organized by the Mille DX Club and the Rostov Oblast branch of the Russian Amateur Radio Union. All QSOs go via Romeo Quebec 7 Lima. And for the certificates that are available, pay a visit to https://hamlog.online/club/Mike Delta X-Ray Charlie. Azerbaijan, Yan Delta Lima 4 X-Ray Tango will be active holiday style as 4 kilo stroke Delta Lima 4 X-ray tanker from Azerbaijan between 26 December and 3 January. He will operate SSB CW digital modes on 40, 20, 15 and 10 meters. QSL is via Logbook at World, Clublogs OQRS and QRZ.com. And then we cross the Atlantic Ocean to French Guiana. Pierre Jean, Foxtrot 4 Golf Papa Kilo, will be active as Tango Oscar 2 Foxtrot Yankee from Coral in French Guiana between 22 December and 15 January. He will operate SSB only, and QSL is via Logbook at World and EQSL. He does not use Clublog and will not answer to paper QSLs even if they are sent with green stamps. And yes, this report you will find on my SRL under the HF heading, and look for HF update with ZS2 Bravo. That's all this week here from Dennis, ZS2 Bravo for Amateur Radio Today.
Thank you, Dennis. Well, that brings us to the end of this edition of Amateur Radio Today. There'll be more Amateur Radio Today next Sunday. If you missed part of the program or you want to listen to it again, www.mzsa.org.za, you'll find the link. Of course, on that website, you also find other interesting information, like the antenna special, the book special, as well as the Afrikaans and English SRL news bulletins. All I have to now do is say thank you very much to our contributors. Without them, of course, there would be no program. Also, to our relay stations. Without that, you wouldn't be able to hear the program. And to you, our listeners, because without you, there would be no point in us doing it. It sounds all complicated. Have a great week. Talk to you next Sunday. And yeah, Brian's doing the relay today. 73.